It's 18 August. It's Wednesday. It's time for the CG Report. Unfit to lead. That and other things to go over on today's report. Okay, from Mail Online. Advancing Taliban go door-to-door and forcibly take girls as young as 12 to be sex slave wives for their fighters as they sweep across Afghanistan. Now, that was on 8 August. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a timeline leading up to the current day. This is 10 days ago. Biden would have been briefed on this. From Cosmo, chilling map shows how foreign jihadis are flocking to Afghanistan to launch new terror war with the West. Biden would have been briefed on this. It was on 13 August. Foreign fighters are flocking to Afghanistan to launch a new terror war on the West as the Taliban tears through the country. Jihadis from the UK, Syria, Libya, and Central Asia have been heading to the war-torn country to take advantage of the Taliban's open door to global terror. Their lightning advance has taken the fanatics to within striking distance of the capital, Kabul, and disturbing stories have emerged of young Brit jihadis traveling there. The British security services have already intercepted phone calls of militants with British accents as they openly talked on their mobiles. Now experts are warning that ISIS fighters are flocking to Afghanistan in a chilling echo of the Islamic State caliphate the maniacs once controlled Syria and Iraq. They include hardened ISIS fighters from Syria, while terrorists from Central Asian nations north to the country have already used the country as a base for terror plot. There have been warnings from Russia that even terrorists from the ISIS branch in Libya, made up of many African jihadis, could also be making their way to the war-torn country. Sounds like a party is coming in Afghanistan. From The Hill. When Kabul falls, America is in danger again. This is from 13 August. American officials have not ceased to believe that the Taliban would abide by the terms of the February 29, 2020 Doha Agreement, which was advertised as the first step in a process that would lead both to American and NATO withdrawal of their forces and a settlement between the Taliban and the Afghan government. On the contrary, in a manner reminiscent of General Vo Nguyen Giap's ultimately successful offenses against the Army of South Vietnam, which were stepped up after Henry Kissinger negotiated the 1973 Paris Peace Accords, the Taliban has stepped up its operations against the Kabul government's forces throughout the country. Nevertheless, even as the Taliban offensive continued to intensify, Biden admin officials believed in the negotiations' positive outcome and insisted that while the Taliban might control the Afghan countryside, it would not attempt to seize urban areas and especially provincial capitals. When the Taliban did just that, admin officials posited that the Taliban would not attempt to seize major provincial capitals such as Kunduz, Herat, Kandahar, or Mazar-e-Sharif. Kunduz, Lashkargah, Herat, and Kandahar have fallen. It appears to be only a matter of days before Mazar-e-Sharif falls as well. In response to the rapid fall of 9 provincial capitals to the Taliban, the Afghan government replaced the Army Chief of Staff. The change appears to have had no impact on increasingly dire forecasts as to when, not if, Kabul will fall. Now remember, this is from 13 August. U.S. officials reportedly now predict that Kabul will fall much sooner than expected. Previous assessments predicted that the Afghan capital would surrender to the Taliban in 6 to 12 months after the departure of the American forces. This is just a couple days ago. Now officials reportedly assert that Kabul could fall within 90 days. Given the degree to which Afghan government forces have melted away, rather than fight the Taliban, 90 days may be an optimistic prediction, which may be why some officials feel that the city will surrender in as little as a month. This is just 5 days ago, and here we are saying it'll be a month. Biden knew all of this was going on. He knew everything that was happening, and he purposefully caused the disaster that we are now facing in the country of Afghanistan. From Zero Hedge, Joint Chiefs informed senators terror threat from Afghanistan has moved up. This is from 15 August, just 3 days ago. On Sunday, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, informed senators terrorist groups will be reconstituted in Afghanistan at a much greater speed than previously thought, and thus threat levels to the United States' interests will likely increase. This after any gains made over 20 years of the U.S. military's counterterror mission in its Afghan forever war and occupation seems to have evaporated overnight. The two top defense officials were asked whether, in light of recent events, they will revise an assessment to Congress in June of a medium risk of terrorist groups reconstituting in Afghanistan within 2 years by the senators. Milley responded, yes, that he would have to assume that the timeline would get moved up and that he would be happy to brief senators in a classified setting. Ironically, thinking all the way back to the Bush-era launch of the war in 2001, the driving rationale for the invasion and toppling the Taliban in the first place was to protect the U.S. homeland from terrorism. Over 2 decades later, the Pentagon now finds itself right back where it started. Zero Hedge, former CIA officer. The most infamous and devastating press conference ever held by an American president. This article came out on the 16th, 2 days ago. One former CIA officer has observed, looking back to Biden's July 8th Afghan policy speech, this may be the most infamous and devastating press conference ever held by an American president, wrote CIA foreign operations veteran Brian Dean Wright. When I announced our drawdown in April, I said we would be out by September and we're on track to meet that target, Biden said. Our military mission in Afghanistan will conclude on August 31st. Reporter, is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable? Biden, no, it is not. Reporter, why? Biden, because you, the Afghan troops, have 300,000 well-equipped, as well-equipped as any army in the world, and an air force against something like 75,000 Taliban. It is not inevitable. Perhaps this utter failure to grasp or predict anything close to reality on the ground in the conflict is a failure also shared by U.S. intelligence, given that it was only in June that a widely reported intel assessment forecast that Kabul could fall within 6 months. But just last week, that assessment was significantly revised to say within 1 month to 90 days. Merely the last 48 hours has obviously proven this completely off the mark as well. U.S. intelligence is now giving it just 72 hours. It was a lot quicker than that, wasn't it? But it's looking more and more like the Taliban will overrun the capital in maybe just 24 hours, which may not even be enough time for all U.S. diplomatic personnel to get out. It was on 8/16 that article came out. Our president was fully aware of this. The intel community is fully aware of this. The deep state has caused this to occur. They do not care about what's occurring because they are working for the Chinese. There's no doubt about it. This is what Trump tried to get out of our government. He was unable to do so because he did not understand the depth of what is going on in the government of the United States of America. From Breitbart, Taliban seizing personal weapons because Afghans can now feel safe. This is from 16 August. We understand people kept weapons for personal safety. They can now feel safe. We are not here to harm innocent civilians. Just this morning, I read about several innocent civilians shot in the streets. Epic Times. Biden hasn't spoken with any world leaders on fall of Afghanistan, says the White House. That was yesterday. He finally called Boris Johnson, who is just as guilty in this as Biden is. Next article. Breitbart. Boris in July. There is no military path to victory for the Taliban. He was as clueless as Biden, or should I say he was as complicit as Biden. Prime Minister Johnson, who has previously compared himself and Biden to Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt, had strongly backed the Biden-led withdrawal and, like the Democrat leader, had asserted that a quick Taliban victory was unlikely. I would just say to the Taliban that they have made the commitment that I read out to the House in their negotiations with General Khalilzad. They must abide by that commitment. I am sure they will be aware that there is no military path to victory for the Taliban, Johnson declared in the House of Commons as recently as July 8th. There must be a peaceful and a negotiated settlement for the political crisis in Afghanistan. And the UK will continue to work to ensure that takes place. I believe that can happen. I do not believe that the Taliban are guaranteed the kind of victory that we sometimes read about. That's true. They were guaranteed a victory that we've never read about in the history of taking over nations, especially nations that we are just leaving. Yes, Vietnam was a disaster, but not at all like what's happened in Afghanistan. You'll see that in a couple minutes from a Vietnam veteran. For now, from Breitbart, woke General Mark Milley in July. Afghan security forces have the capacity to defend their country. He ought to be fired with the rest of them. Chairman of the JCS, Milley, told reporters less than 4 weeks before the Taliban entered Kabul that the local military was fully capable of defending Afghanistan from the insurgent Islamic terrorist militia. In a press conference on July 21st, Milley said, "General Miller and his team, along with CENTCOM and many others in the joint force, have paved the path for a safe, orderly, and responsible transition. The Afghan security forces have the capacity to sufficiently fight and defend their country, and we will continue to support the Afghan security forces where necessary in accordance with the guidance from the President and the Secretary of Defense." No guidance came. The Pentagon did nothing. The nation has fallen. From the Times of Israel, as Afghan army routed, officials say Pentagon vastly overestimated its power. You think? The collapse of the Afghan army that allowed Taliban fighters to take control of Kabul cast a stark light on errors committed over the past 20 years by the Pentagon, as the U.S. spent billions of dollars in Afghanistan. Washington spent $83 billion in its effort to create a modern army mirroring its own. In practical terms, that meant huge dependence on air support and a high-tech communications network in a country where only 30% of the population can count on a reliable electricity supply. Airplanes, helicopters, drones, armored vehicles, night vision goggles. The United States spared no expense in equipping the Afghan army. Before I finish, you do know that the Afghan army doesn't exist anymore, and now the Taliban has $83 billion worth of our armament. And the Chinese government has full access to that. Every secret that may be in our weaponry, they now have possession of because they are dealing with the Taliban now. It recently even provided the Afghans with the latest Black Hawk attack helicopters. But the Afghans, many of them illiterate young men in a country lacking the infrastructure to support cutting-edge military equipment, were unable to mount a serious resistance against a less equipped and ostensibly badly outnumbered foe. All that weaponry, all that technology now belongs to our enemy. All of it. Breitbart. Vulnerable Democrats blast Biden for failed Afghanistan withdrawal. There's no way to hide it. Representative Gonzalez, he's a Democrat from Texas who is in a vulnerable district and has come under fire in the past for allegedly making demeaning statements towards police and voted to defund the police, came out with a statement on Afghanistan. I hope his voters defund him, but he's right about Biden and he's trying to save his skin. I hope he doesn't. He said that the situation in Afghanistan is another shame on the Biden admin and there is no way to hide it. Gonzalez added that the withdrawal from Afghanistan was not going to be easy, but it didn't need to come to this. Nothing that Democrats do need to come to what they come to, ever. They are a failed system, they are failed politicians, they are a failed ideology, that guy included, from Fox. Clay Travis, if experts were wrong about Afghanistan, how can you trust them on the border or on COVID? Good question. Last major article we read today will address one of those issues. The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show discussed on Monday how the sudden and dangerous fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban proves how establishment experts can't be trusted to provide expertise on any pressing issue. Not only do they not provide expertise, they lie, they make stuff up, they are forcing an agenda on the population of the United States of America. It is a communist agenda, and they are doing their best to destroy this nation so that the Chinese can come in and take over and we can have a little commie Shangri-La. From Breitbart, former General Petraeus, Biden must take responsibility for his catastrophic Afghanistan withdrawal. General Petraeus, don't hold your breath. From Breitbart, Kamala Harris claimed key role in Afghanistan withdrawal decision. Kamala Lama Ding Dong claimed a key role in the decision to withdraw from Afghanistan, but she has yet to make a public statement upon the Taliban overrunning Kabul Sunday. Harris confirmed to CNN's Dana Bash that she was the last person in the room bragging before Biden decided to remove all troops from Afghanistan. "Were you the last person in the room?" Bash asked Harris. "Yes," Harris responded. Bash pressed with another question, "And you feel comfortable?" "I do," she responded. "This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage. He is someone who I have seen over and over again make decisions based on what he truly believes is the right thing to do. Biden is acutely aware that it may not be politically popular or advantageous for him personally. It's really something to see," Harris continued. "I have seen him over and over again make decisions based exactly on what he believes is right. What he believes is right for the Chinese, not for the United States of America, that's for sure. But now that the country has fallen into the hands of Taliban terrorists, many are noticing Harris's absence from taking responsibility for her key role." From Fox, Biden points fingers for Afghanistan debacle after promising he won't blame others. Biden's Afghanistan remarks contrasted with his campaign promise to take responsibility and not blame others. "Never believe a Democrat, especially one that's campaigning for office. Ever. Do not believe them." From Breitbart, Joe Biden blames Donald Trump, of course, for Afghanistan collapse, despite calling Taliban takeover unlikely in July. So the question now is, where do they go from here? Biden said in July about the Taliban's failure to negotiate a deal with the Afghan government. The jury is still out, but the likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely. Mail Online. "The buck stops with me," says Biden, but then proceeds to blame Afghan fiasco on Trump and locals who failed to fight the Taliban before staking $500 million in aid to refugees, then fleeing back to Camp David. "Frittering away our tax dollars, a couple hundred million at a time. You know, it's just going on and on and on. There's no end to the spending. There's no end to the attempt to destroy our nation and to take care of other people in the process. And I'm not saying to take care of the Afghans that helped us, but where does the spending end? We shouldn't have had to do this in the first place." From the Federalist, "No, Biden cannot blame Trump for the Afghanistan withdrawal disaster. Bunk. Biden was no more bound by former President Trump's agreement with the Taliban than Trump was required to abide by Obama's Iran deal, known formally as the JCPOA. Neither agreement bound future presidents because neither deal was presented to the Senate for ratification. As the current commander-in-chief, Biden holds power to decide every aspect of the withdrawal decision. Biden already extended Trump's May 1st, 2021 deadline to September. And if he believed the Taliban too strong, the Afghanistan government too weak, or the withdrawal decision entirely misplaced, the current president could have changed course. He didn't, because he did not want to. Of course he didn't want to. He wanted the Chinese to go in there and to take over, which is exactly what they are currently doing. They're going to get the mineral rights. They're going to get the equipment that we left there. They're going to get all of that, all the technology from it. They'll be able to use it against us. $83 billion worth of stuff given to the Afghanis, which will be funneled over to the Chinese. This is a crime. This is absolutely a crime that is going on here, and we need to do something about it. We need to call our senators. We need to call our representatives, and we need to tell them that they need to take action. This cannot go on. This president is out of control. He's a communist, and he is going to destroy this nation. From Breitbart, Afghan director warns of massacres, child brides, banned art as U.S. allies rip Biden over Taliban takeover. From the Christian Times, Christian persecution set to rise. Yes, that's a guarantee after Taliban takeover of Afghanistan. Release International warned that anyone identified as a Christian could be killed for their faith, and that they risk betrayal or falling victim to an honor killing by their own family members. Breitbart, Midway skipper who pushed choppers into the sea at Saigon. What's happening now is worse. Speaking with the Military Times, Larry Chambers, who served as a skipper on the aircraft carrier Midway during the fall of Saigon, said that while the two situations are strikingly similar, they are different in one key respect. Kabul is much, much worse. While the memory of Saigon certainly haunts Chambers, he believes the fall of Kabul is a far worse situation for several reasons. The abruptness of U.S. withdrawal, Kabul's distance from the ocean, and the Taliban's undisputed brutality. Of course it's worse in Saigon, he said. We tried to get out as many people who worked with us as we could. Did we do a good job? Who knows? I do not know what the Taliban is going to do, but whatever it is, it's not going to be pretty. From Great Game India, White House accidentally exposes cover of CIA operatives at Doha Station in Qatar. In what seemed like a big goof-up, the White House accidentally exposed the cover of CIA operatives at Doha Station. The White House shared an image of Biden meeting via video conference with Kamala Harris and other national security officials to discuss the ongoing crisis in Afghanistan, but many on Twitter noticed that the White House may have accidentally outed CIA operatives in the process in the boxes labeled CIA and Doha Station. From Yahoo, photo of Biden in national security meeting raises accuracy and security questions. Twitter users also questioned why a clock time depicted in the White House's image showed incorrect times. The photo shows the time in London as 4:29 p.m. and 7:29 p.m. in Moscow, though there is only a two-hour difference between the cities after the clocks went forward for the United Kingdom in March. Time difference between London and Moscow is only 2 hours. It hasn't been 3 hours since March. So they're trying to show that Biden is doing something when he isn't, because they took an old photo and they put it up there, and in the putting up there of it, they compromised national security assets. From Breitbart, Biden prioritized LGBT agenda in Afghanistan as terrorists took over. While Afghanistan was falling to the Taliban terrorists, the Biden White House prioritized the LGBT agenda in foreign policy, flying the rainbow flag above the U.S. Embassy in Kabul to mark Pride Month. The month of June is recognized as LGBTI Pride Month, the embassy posted on Twitter in June. The United States respects the dignity and equality of LGBTI people and celebrates their contributions to the society. We remain committed to supporting civil rights of minorities, including these people. Guess what they're going to be doing very soon? The Taliban is going to be taking these people and chucking them off of the top of buildings. They're going to be stoning them in the streets. They're going to be having them out in open areas and executing them with guns to the back of the head. So much for supporting the LGBTI community in Afghanistan. From American Military News, video. CNN reporter says Taliban shouting death to America seemed friendly. That sounds like CNN. From the Post-Millennial, Chinese state media uses Afghanistan disaster to justify takeover of Taiwan. State-run media reports that the disaster in Afghanistan should be a warning to Taiwan that the U.S. will not help them should China seek to overtake the island. From U.S. Mag Studio, China warns Taiwan not to trust United States following disastrous withdrawal of Afghanistan. Well, if we can't be trusted there, why would Taiwan trust us at all? Mail Online, Lindsey Graham says Biden has gone from incompetent to dangerous. He's always been incompetent, and he has always been dangerous, and calls his Afghanistan speech pathetic. From the Daily Caller, report, Biden ignored advice from generals on Afghan pullout. The Hill, China moves quickly to replace America in Afghanistan. Well, that naturally follows. I said it a couple minutes ago. I'll say it again. Biden is a communist. He has sold out to the Chinese. He has given the Chinese a nation that we built. We put together for them, plus $83 billion of military supplies, mineral rights, all the stuff that goes along with that. Poppy fields, which they can go make heroin and ship to the United States and continue to corrupt our society. All of that belongs to China now. And Biden knew this, and this is intentional what he has done. Okay, I've got a bonus non-Afghanistan article here for you, so let's go to India, okay? Zero Hedge, India's ivermectin blackout. News of India's defeat of the Delta variant should be common knowledge. It is just about as obvious as the nose on one's face. It is so clear when one looks at the grass that no one can deny it. Yet, for some reason, we are not allowed to talk about it. Thus, for example, Wikipedia cannot mention the peer-reviewed meta-analysis by Dr. Tess Lowry or Dr. Pierre Corey, published in the American Journal of Therapeutics. Wikipedia is not allowed to publish the recent meta-analysis on ivermectin, authored by Dr. Andrew Hill. Furthermore, it is not allowed to say anything concerning www.ivmmeta.com, showing the 61 studies comprising 23,000 patients which reveal up to a 96% reduction in death with ivermectin. One can see the bias in Wikipedia by going on the talk pages for each subject and reading about the fierce attempts of editors to add these facts and the stonewall refusals by the senior editors who have an agenda. And that agenda is not loyalty to your health. The easy way to read the talk page on any Wikipedia subject is to click the top left talk button. Anyone can then review the editor's discussions. There's a blackout on any conversation about how ivermectin beat COVID-19 in India. When I discussed the dire straits that India found itself in earlier this year with 414,000 cases per day and over 4,000 deaths per day, and how that evaporated within 5 weeks of the addition of ivermectin, I'm often asked, but why is there no mention of that in the news? Yes, exactly. Ask yourself why India's success against the Delta variant with ivermectin is such a closely guarded secret by the NIH and CDC. Second, ask yourself why no major media outlets reported this fact, but instead tried to confuse you with false information by saying the deaths in India are 10 times greater than official reports. Perhaps NPR is trying so hard because NPR is essentially a government mouthpiece. The U.S. government is all in with the vaccines with the enthusiasm of a 17th century Catholic Church, all in with a geocentric model of the universe, disputing Galileo. Claiming that India's numbers are inaccurate might distract from the overwhelming success of ivermectin. The graphs and data from the Johns Hopkins University CSSE database do not lie. On the contrary, they provide a compelling trail of truth that no one can dispute, not even the NIH, CDC, FDA, and WHO. Just as Galileo proved with his telescope that the Earth was not the center of the universe in 1616, today the data from India shows that ivermectin is effective, much more so than the vaccines. It not only prevents death, but it also prevents COVID infections, and it also is effective against the Delta variant. In 1616, you could not make up the telescopic images of Jupiter and its orbiting moons, nor could you falsify the crescent-shaped images of Venus and Mercury, a truth the Catholic Church could not allow. Likewise, the massive drop in cases and deaths in India to almost nothing after the addition of ivermectin proved the drug's effectiveness. This is a truth that the NIH, CDC, and FDA, and I would add in YouTube, hence I am no longer going to use them as a platform, cannot allow it because it would endanger the vaccine policy. Never mind that ivermectin would save more lives with much less risk, much less cost, and it would end the pandemic quickly. They do not want this pandemic ended. They want it to go on and on and on because they want you to be under their control. They want you to be scared. They want to be able to say you cannot travel without a vaccine. You can't do this and you can't do that. They want to know who is compliant, who isn't compliant. They want to know these things, and they will do everything possible to hide information like this so that your health is in danger. And it doesn't matter to them. It makes no difference at all to them if you are in danger or not. What matters to them is total control. And this is why this is being pushed out. One more article, just the title from All Israel. An Israeli study, which we talked about on a previous CG report, shows ivermectin effective for treating COVID. So why is it not used as infections soar? The reason why is exactly that, because it is effective. And also because it costs $1 a day to take it. They are making billions and billions of dollars. They're killing the American economy. They're killing the American people because they don't want you to be free. They want control. This is exactly what's going on, and it is very sad, but this is the world we live in. And so from Sarasota, Florida, to Afghanistan and India and Israel and at times Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your Midweek CG Report.